Welcome in, everyone, to another week of Who's Gonna Win here on KJN as we head into week number two of our high school pick'em show. Chris Parks, along with Jim Field, Matt Mullinex, Doug Leonard, the whole crew here on hand, and we'll let you know what's happening with our picks here this week and how we did last week here in just a moment. We want to thank our sponsors for the program, Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union. We'll be back with our wrap-up of last week after this.
Pro Ag and Ag Business, ready to weather any storm to protect you. We are a financially strong crop insurance provider prepared to deliver a level of customer service unmatched in the industry. Pro Ag and Ag Business, customer-focused, best-in-class products with a team of the most experienced crop insurance professionals in the country, like Ag Business Associates. Come experience the Pro Ag difference. Contact Ag Business Associates in Atlantic at 712-243-5464 today.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Welcome back now here to Who's Gonna Win. Let's take a look back at week number one and how we fared. And Doug, you said that you shouldn't have angered me.
True.
And it worked out well.
Well, it worked out well for one of us.
No.
Yeah, I know. 8-0. Yeah. I'm not going to give you any grief about hosting the show anymore.
Right out of the gate, an 8-0.
Yeah, you decided you sandbagged last year, and you want the handicap for this year for Hoosman.
I'll be honest, that week number one's a lot of luck, so I got a little bit of that here, week number one. But we were all pretty good. We had 8-0 for myself there at the top of the pack. Jim was 7-1, so he only had one missed pick. Matt and Doug went 6-2, and here's how we did it. Yeah, the first game we had on our slate was Exira EHK hosting Nishna Botna. And it was the Spartans pulling it out late in the ball game. They got off to a slow start, but they win it 35-6. We all had that one right. Cam went on the road and put a licking on Adair Casey, 66-8, the final score there. We all had that one correct as well. Bedford was a 35-0 winner over Grizzled. We all picked Bedford, so we were all winners there. Underwood was a big winner over Tri-Center, 70-14, and that was a winner for Doug and myself, Matt and Jim. What were you thinking?
Hey, if you're going to lose, you might as well lose big, right?
Yeah, just a little surprised at that. So
that was a surprise.
Yeah,
thought that would be a
like you said.
Game.
The first week is kind of a lot of luck in there.
Yeah, didn't go your way that time.
Nope.
Shenandoah was a winner over Riverside, 25-0. We all had that one correct. Carroll was a winner over Kemper Catholic, 24-7. The final score in that one. Carroll, the winner. We all had Carroll as our pick as well. Harlan was a 44-7 winner over Denison. And, Doug, your limb snapped drastically.
Yeah, that might not have been a really good pick on my part, but, you know, who knows?
Might have.
Might not have.
The rest of us had that one right. And then Clarinda beat Atlantic 34-14 Friday night at the Trojan Bowl, and that was a winner for myself and for Jim. And Matt and Doug took a loss there. So that's how we finished up week number one on the program. So we turn the page now here to week number two, and well, week number two looks pretty interesting. We have some interesting games on the sheet here this week, so we'll dive right into it. We're going to start with a couple of eight-man football games, and the first one is a couple of teams that lost pretty handily last week. Adair Casey goes on the road to take on Nishna Botna, traveling all the way down to Hamburg. And I guess since I went 8-0, I'll go ahead and start off the program here today. We got to see Nishna Botna and their running back, Chad Blank. He's actually kind of an ex-back wide receiver, whatever you want to call it. They just find ways to get him the ball because he is the fastest man on the field, and I'm going to guess that's going to be the case again here this week. Adair Casey really struggled getting any offense going. They're just such a small team this year. I think they're going to struggle up front a lot, and that's a long ways to go as well. I think Nishna Botna, with that one player that has some speed, is going to be able to get the win. All right, Jim?
Well, I had a chance to visit with a fellow who saw the game last week, Chris, and He said, yeah, Anishinaabemowin does have a few good players out there, and the one kid in particular. Derek Casey's just struggling a little bit right now with size issues and numbers issues, and it's going to be a tough season for them. I think this is normally a toss-up. I'm going to go with Anishinaabemowin because they're at home.
All right, that's two for Anishinaabemowin. Matt?
Yeah, neither team really had an outing that they would like to have started the week or started the season with, but I think, like you guys can all already alluded to, Anishinaabemowin did put up some good numbers throwing the ball. Quarterback was 16 of 28, 208 yards. Those are some decent numbers. But their rushing game suffered a little bit, but I think some of that's just the pressure that was put on by Xyre Elkhorn Kimmelton. So I'm going to go with the home team here, Anishinaabemowin.
That's three for the Blue Devils. Doug, you're going to make it a sweep.
Well, I think, yeah, Anishinaabemowin's offense, as Matt mentioned, you know, the Haining, the quarterback, had a pretty good game. He did have a couple interceptions, you know, so if they want to try to minimize those mistakes. But I think their offense might be a little bit more potent than Derek Casey, so I'm going to take Anishinaabemowin.
All right, so we're going with the home team down in Hamburg, Anishinaabemowin, the win in our first game. Second game is another team that I got a chance to see last week, the other half of that matchup, Xyre EHK. This time they go on the road to take on the Cam Cougars. Both teams were winners in week number one. This, on paper, is a pretty interesting matchup here in week two. Jim, I guess you get the first crack at this one.
Very good. Well, for the second straight year, Xyre EHK loses their starting quarterback to injury. So, you know, some things just keep happening to certain teams. It's kind of odd how that plays out. But, you know, Tom Peterson seems to have a way to find guys to plug into different places. It's tough when you lose numbers, kids with size. You know, you just don't have a lot of them. That's why you're an eight-man football in the first place. And the Hansen kid who did quarterback for them last year after the Peppers kid got hurt will slide in there, and he'll have a chance to run that offense again. But, you know, I'm going to kind of go out this time with Cam. Cam's a young group, but they've got nice size, numbers, and physical size. They played pretty well, got off to a good start, a little confidence builder last week. And Joe's a good coach in his own right, too. He's been around for a long time. I just think Cam at home might be able to squeak this one out. I'm going to take the Cougars.
All right, that's one for the Cougars. And what Jim was alluding to there, Kyle Peterson went down with an ACL injury. He'll be out for the season for the Spartans, and he was looking to be one of those guys in the backfield under center for them. Matt?
Yeah, I believe this will be definitely a good ball game on Friday night. Both teams, close proximities, kind of rivals in there. Looking at last week, you got Cam completed 4 out of 12 passes, and all of them went for touchdowns. Over 200 yards of rushing as a total offense, but nobody on the team had over 8 carries, so they kind of spread it out there and really had a nice productive win last week. And I think Cam's got some of the key players that are seniors in the right spots. Xyre, you know, they've had a real good run here. The one thing with them is that they're always competitive and they always come ready to play. So I think that's what's going to be make it a good ball game. But I'm just going to give that edge to the home team this year, Cam.
All right, that's two for the Cam Cougars. Doug?
Yeah, like Matt mentioned, the Cam's just pounding that ball on the ground, really run, and then, you know, you suck up to cover that run, and then they throw it for a touchdown. So, Spartans are going to have to guard against that. I can't remember the last time I picked against Coach Peterson's squad, but I'm going to this week, too. I'm going to take Cam.
All right, that's three for the Cam Cougars, and yeah, this is a very interesting matchup. Brady Hansen actually did start the game at quarterback last week, and that was more so, I think, just because he had the job at the end of the previous season. They were going to rotate him and Mr. Peterson, and it was didn't take up a series until he got hurt and was out of the ball game. I like what they have in the backfield, though. Hansen can do some nice things. He can run the ball well. Buchholz also is a very good running back, and he's a great player for them on defense. I was very impressed with the way that Cam won in week number one. I think they do have some great size up front, so that's going to make this a tough outing. Man, I like Drew Tickner. I like what they're doing, but it's hard for me to already change my mind against the Spartans this early on in the season. This is going to be a really good game, I think, and I'm going to go ahead and go with the road team. I'm going to take Xyre EHK here in this one.
Were you just sitting back waiting to see, just thinking this could be a limb pick for you?
It's a pretty good limb pick with Spartans.
No, that's just one I wasn't sure about, but I think I was kind of leaning this way anyways when I started, so I'm going to stay there. All right, that's one for the Spartans and the rest for Cam in that pick. We'll go ahead and take a break and come back and take a look at some 11-man football after this.
Pro Ag and Ag Business, ready to weather any storm to protect you. We are a financially strong crop insurance provider prepared to deliver a level of customer service unmatched in the industry. Pro Ag and Ag Business, customer-focused, best-in-class products with a team of the most experienced crop insurance professionals in the country, like Ag Business Associates. Come experience the Pro Ag difference. Contact Ag Business Associates in Atlantic at 712-243-5464 today.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Back to here now on Who's Going to Win. We'll jump into 11-man football games, and we start off with one that's a Class A, 1A matchup as Audubon goes on the road to take on IKM Manning. Both teams were winners in week number one. Audubon got a win on that Thursday night game against AHSTW, and IKM Manning eked one out against East Sac County. Matt, you get first crack at this one.
Well, this is another tough ball game here on the schedule this week with this Audubon and IKM Manning group. You know, obviously, both of them came out on top last week. IKM Manning squeaked one out 7-6. But if you look at their stats, really didn't put up much yards offensively. Wasn't very productive out there. And then you've got Audubon out there who offensively did the work from Mulford, their running back, carried the ball 35 times. You know, I think one of the key factors is the Smith-Peterson kid. You know, where is he going to be at coming back from an injury and such? The other thing that I kind of looked at there was Audubon, at the end of the day, still gave up 455 yards. Their defense did. So, this is tough because I just think IKM Manning lost quite a bit from last year. I'm going to go with IKM Manning home team.
All right, that's one for the home team. Doug.
Yeah, I was impressed by the win that the Wheelers had last week. As Matt mentioned, that you know Mulford had almost 200 yards rushing, which is about 70 yards more than IKM Manning had total as a team. So, yeah, you know, and that might be a testament to East Sac County's defense. But, you know, I think if Audubon can run the ball and control the ball and not give IKM Manning chances on offense, I think the Wheelers are going to take this one.
All right, so that's one for the Wheelers. Yeah, I got a chance a little bit to watch that game Thursday night there between Audubon and AHSTW. That was just a tough, hard-fought back-and-forth game, all those lead changes coming at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, and I think both those teams are good teams. IKM Manning, yeah, did lose a lot. Sam Wagner was the guy that really ran the show for them last year, and they're turning it over now to Kyle Wagner, who's kind of their leader out there on the field for them. I think Audubon has a few more weapons. This is a tough place to go and win, and IKM Manning's a really good team, too. This is another good game, but I'm going to go with the Wheelers as well. Jim?
Okay. Yeah, you know, I wonder how much of that, the yardage that Audubon gave up to AHST was a combination of, well, AHST, first of all, it's a pretty good ball club, AHSTW, and then the other side is they did so much on offense, and these kids are largely playing both ways. That it just, you know, you got to take some time off. You get tired, and sometimes that happens on defense. Boy, that was such an entertaining game to watch, that Audubon AHSTW game. What a great opportunity to see some good high school football early in the season like that for folks. It gives me a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach, but I'm going to give Matt a limb pick. I don't like doing that because IKM Manning at home. Whoever thought you'd get a limb pick, but I'm going to go with the Wheelers.
Kind of where I was hoping for.
Yes, I bet you were. I thought so.
It'll be interesting. We'll get keep our eye on that one on Friday night. Next game on the list is also an A1A matchup as Underwood, who was one of our surprise teams from last week on our list, goes on the road to try to take down the defending champs in Logan Magnolia. Logan Magnolia dropped to number two in the polls here this week. Any chance that the Panthers go down, Doug?
Well, yeah, that was a neat article that was in the Red Shirt recently about Coach Strait from Lomah, too, and his health battle that he's going through. So, yeah, Underwood was an offensive juggernaut against Tri-Center. I mean, they put up almost 650 yards of offense total. Very efficient in the passing game, 250 yards passing on 13 out of 16 attempts. So, you know, they definitely had their offense humming. Lomah, very good on the ground, didn't really throw the ball at all against Missouri Valley. But, you know, it's I was impressed by Underwood, and that's why I picked him last week, because I knew they were going to win. Right? You did too, Chris,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yes. Because you knew great nothing job. About the team.
Right. I knew nothing about them. I think I said that. But, you know, I just don't think it's tough to go into Logan and emerge with a victory. So I think it'll be a great game, but I'm going to take Lomah.
Okay, one for Logan Magnolia. You think these Panthers are going to win? There's another Panther playing this weekend. You don't think they're going to win, right?
No, no, okay. Not the UNI Panthers.
That's one for Lomah. I'm also going to stick with the Panthers here. I was impressed with Underwood in week one. Nick Peterson, their quarterback, had a whale of a game in that one against Tri-Center. Logan Magnolia actually struggled for a while. It was a close game against Missouri Valley for a long time, but I noticed they also did turn the ball over three times as well, so that's maybe something that slowed them down a little bit. I'm sure they'll try to clean that up here in week number two. Just such a tough place to go into and win, and I'm sure Underwood's used to, you know, losing games there, so you kind of got to get over that mindset as well. So I'll go with the home team and Logan Magnolia. Jim?
Logan, Iowa. I think the slogan on the board out front when you drive into town is where early season excitement comes to die. Because it seems like it happens about every year like that. Somebody's feeling pretty good about themselves, and then they waltz in there, and yeah, that's, you know what happens. No, Underwood's got apparently a little bit of explosiveness. They played pretty well against Tri-Center. That was Tri-Center. This is Logan Magnolia. I'm going to stick with the Panthers at home.
All right, that's three for Lomah. Matt?
Well, you know, Logan's definitely a different team this year. You know, they lost quite a bit of their players from there. They still don't have that size. You know, they've got nine seniors on the roster. Wohlers is basically their weapon. This is a tough one because you look at Underwood and what they did do last week, and like you said, Jim, it was, you know, it was Tri-Center, an outmanned Tri-Center team. But one of the other things that stands out is that Underwood only has four two-way starters. Their entire offensive line, which has great size up there, does not play on the defense, so they're going to be fresh, ready to move the ball. This is definitely a great early season matchup, a non-district game for either team, so there's really not much to lose. I'm going to go out there on that limb again, and I'm going to say Underwood pulls off an upset.
All right, so we've got one for the Eagles there, pulling one out on the road. Next up on our list here is a Class A and 2A matchup as a Riverside gets to play another team from down south as they play host to the Red Oak Tigers here this week. And I guess I get first crack at this one here. It was Red Oak losing to Glenwood 35-0 last week to start off their season, and it was much the same for Riverside. They lost 25-0 to Shenandoah. Their running back, Cole Moore, had a decent chunk of yardage on the ground. There was a little bit of life there. Red Oak didn't do much offensively at all in that game against Glenwood. This is a tough game, but I don't know. What Riverside's been through the last few years, it just seems like the program right now is really down. They lost a couple of key players from last year as well. I'm going to give the edge to the bigger school, and I'll go with Red Oak here. Jim?
Ditto. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. I guess I, when in doubt, go with the numbers, and it's a larger school district. They have more numbers. There are more helmets over on that side of the football field, and I think the Tigers are probably primed to pick up an early season win.
All right, that's two for the Tigers. Matt?
I'm going to keep it consistent across there. Yeah, they didn't put up big numbers against Glenwood, but Glenwood, as we know, is going to be a pretty tough team this year. We saw Red Oak a couple weeks ago. They came up scrimmage Atlantic. I thought they showed some good playmaking ability out there. And so against a team like Riverside, I think they'll be able to come out on top.
All right, so that's three for Red Oak. Doug, is it a sweep?
Well, I don't know. I do know that one team will, I think I know that one team will actually score their first points of the year on offense this year. Hopefully, maybe on defense, you never know. But,
2-0?
No, I agree with Matt. I saw the scrimmage Atlantic had against Red Oak. I thought Red Oak did some nice things at times. And, you know, I was kind of surprised that Glenwood, with the Glenwood-Red Oak game, that Isaacson didn't have more carries. I don't know if there's injury there or if they're holding him back or what it was, but he only had eight attempts rushing against Glenwood, and he's, you know, their feature back, I think. So, but I do think the Tigers, Red Oak Tigers, will win on the road.
All right, that's a clean sweep, Red Oak over Riverside. Another game here, this is a 2A, 3A matchup, a team that Atlantic saw last week come to town. Clarinda stays on the road, and they go to take on a Creston squad here this week. Jim?
Well, I was actually impressed when I saw the score of the Atlantic-Clarinda game. After last year's 50-point ball game, Clarinda has quite a bit back, and they really only lost one playmaker from that team last year that played so well. So I was really kind of impressed with what Atlantic did. Apparently they made some adjustments during in-game that made a difference, but that doesn't... I'm still not dulled on Clarinda at all. I still think they're a pretty explosive offensive team. They're hard for teams to play because they play such a different offensive scheme than you see most weeks. You really have to focus on all that. Creston, of course, the bigger school. They have a lot more success over the years. But I don't know, I kind of think Clarinda is going to grab this one on the road. I'm going with the Cardinals.
All right, that's one for Clarinda. Matt?
Well, I think for Clarinda, it's... Their defense probably wasn't as tough as what they've had in the past couple years. So I think that's one weakness for them. The other thing that'll be something, you know, that we're not aware of is you know, the quarterback Degassi, if he's going to be back. Because I think once he came out, the game kind of changed for them. But, of course, they'll have a week to work on that as they go. And I think their system's kind of set up for that. You know, they can put a next man in and the running back, and things really don't shake up too much. But, Creston, they played an awfully, awfully good Norwalk team. Norwalk's going to be one of your top teams in the state in Class 3A this year. They went up there, competed pretty hard. They've got their playmakers back for the most part this year. So I think going on the road, I think Creston, they're just going to have a tough defense as well. I mean, with Maitland in there and Schultz and Hewlett, so those guys are just going to eat you up on defense. So I'm going to go with Creston.
All right, that's one for Creston. Doug?
Yeah, Creston's an interesting squad. You know, I was kind of following some of the media from Creston, some of the things they were writing, and I think they're fairly high on their team down there. And you know, they've got a transfer, a foreign exchange student at quarterback from Germany that apparently is a pretty good quarterback. You know, with Creston giving up that many yards to Norwalk, gave up over 300 yards passing, you know, that would certainly be a concern. Except that Clarinda doesn't really throw the ball. So, you know, it's a tough one for me to pick. I think, you know, weird things, we always say weird things happen in Creston, you know.
Seems to be a history of that.
There seems to be. I'm
weird,
sure they would.
But predictable.
Well, you know, no comment, but I guess I brought it up. Sorry. I'm gonna take Creston with a rebound. I like Clarinda's squad. Boy, they have some size. They have some big kids up front. But you know, you wonder whether some of the adjustments Atlantic made, or whether they maybe were wearing down just a little bit too, being bigger fellas there. But I'm gonna take Creston.
All right, that's two for Creston. And yeah, this is an interesting game. I think Creston is going to be a good ball club once again this year. I think at the end of last season, you were thinking about them being one of the teams to compete once again in the district. And Clarinda does a great job running their offense as well. They've got a lot of guys up front that can get things done as far as running that spinner back system. It's tough to prepare for. But yeah, at Creston, at home, with the talent that they have in the backfield, I'm going to let Jim have the limb pick. I'm going to go with Creston here in this one, but I think it's going to be a very interesting game. That probably will come down towards the end of that one. All right, that's another pick here for you. We've got a couple left on our sheet. We're going to go ahead and take a break and come back and wrap it up here on Who's Going to Win.
Pro Ag and Ag Business, ready to weather any storm to protect you. We are a financially strong crop insurance provider prepared to deliver a level of customer service unmatched in the industry. Pro Ag and Ag Business, customer focused, best in class products, with a team of the most experienced crop insurance professionals in the country, like Ag Business Associates. Come experience the Pro Ag difference. Contact Ag Business Associates in Atlantic at 712-243-5464 today.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Welcome back to Who's Going to Win here on KJAN. A couple of more games left on the slate here, and we're going to start off with these are both Class 3A matchups, and this is a very interesting one. Harlan, a big winner in week number one. They go on the road at Carroll, which has been one of their nemesis here in the recent goings. Matt, how's it going to shape up?
Oh, well, yeah, you've got, according to the AP, I think number 9, number 10 ranked teams in Class 3A matching up tonight. Harlan kind of went on the road and really did it on the ground. Tarney, their leading rusher, only threw 8 passes in the night, or at least Kyle Jewell did. Quarterback only went for 38 yards, so they didn't really emphasize that. Then you got Carroll, of course, who did it all on the ground as well. Their running back really hammered away at it up front. So I think it creates an interesting matchup going into this game. So I don't know. This is a tough one. Still not quite sure where Harlan stands coming off of last year. So, oh boy. I guess you just go with Harlan.
I guess you just go with Harlan. I don't know about anybody else.
Going to do it. So
Matt's going to go with Harlan.
Yep.
All right.
There we go.
Doug.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think I recall a few years when I picked against Harlan on several games and paid the price for that. Last year, I might have stuck with him the whole time. That's probably why I won the Hoosman. But
probably the only reason.
Yeah, Tarney ran the ball well for Harlan. I guess looking at the stats, also I was impressed by they had a pretty nice punt returner. Had 3 punt returns for almost 90 yards and a touchdown on that. So maybe some talent at the skill positions or the special teams as well. Thing I just don't know with 44-7 against Denison is how much is that Harlan being improved and how much of that is Denison's squad struggling a little bit this year. Carroll, I don't know, the running back's a senior and he had 229 yards and I guess I hadn't heard his name before this year, but maybe he's turned it on this season. I'm going to take Carroll. They just have had a history in the last few years of having Harlan's number and they are at home.
All right, so that's one for Carroll, the home squad here in this one. And, yeah, I was reading, 4 of the last 6 meetings, I believe, that Carroll's been able to knock off Harlan. So it'll be a fun matchup here once again tonight. And, it's going to be interesting to see who comes out with more motivation, who has a little bit more of that swagger out there in a top 10 matchup like this one. So I think I'm going to go with the home team, too. I don't know. This is going to be a tough game, too. How much has Harlan improved? Because, they really were down last year. They weren't the Harlan of old. And they're going to bounce back and play better after a season like that. They do have some good skill position players, but that's a lot of ground to make up against what was a good Carroll team last year. They did lose some talent, but what they did on the ground in week one is impressive. So I'll stick with the home team here. I'll go with Carroll. Jim?
Doug says he won the Hoosman last year because he decided to be strong and pick Harlan every week. And then he no sooner gets it out of his mouth than he picks Carroll over Harlan.
That's two
weeks now that he's picked against Harlan.
Well, it didn't work out last week. And you know what? I don't think it's going to work out this week either. Addison Reed is, what's his name? Was that Ross?
Addison Ross, yeah. He's gone, yeah.
He's gone. I don't get where the love for Carroll is coming from necessarily. I mean, that's such an explosive player to lose and to try to plug somebody else in. I know they have some nice players, but I just don't think Kemper Catholic was a whole huge test for them last week. Not that Denison was for Harlan, but I just think there's more on the line here for Harlan right now. I like the Cyclones in this one. We've had four Olympics already. I'm not giving Matt another one.
Nice to have three, but I guess.
All right, so we shake it up half and half on that one. The final game we have here on the schedule is the one that we'll be bringing you tonight here on KJN. Seth Christensen will be along with me tonight to bring you the broadcast from Denison as the Monarchs play host to the Atlantic Trojans. Both teams looking for their first win here on the season. Doug, you get first crack at this one.
Well, you know, didn't see the Denison game, but I did get to see the Atlantic game, and I was impressed really with some of the things that that Atlantic was able to do. You know, they didn't come out on the side that they wanted to, of course, but I mean, I think Clarinda is a talented squad. I think Atlantic had some nice gains from their skill positions. You know, they're young. They've got some talented youngsters playing right now. And they made some adjustments, as Matt said earlier, you know, in the second half, brought in a little bit more size on the line, was able to plug up some holes there. But, you know, I think except for, of course, the, you know, the snap over the head of the punter and the miraculous run out of the end zone, which no one ever says you're supposed to do, and Clarinda's kid decided to do. You know, it would have been a little bit different game. I think the error came out of Atlantic sales maybe just a little bit right there because they felt that momentum. I think Atlantic can go on the road and beat Denison. I'm going to take the Trojans.
All right, that's one for Atlantic. And, a lot of those weird little moments in that game last week for Atlantic that could have got them a little bit closer and maybe given them that extra confidence boost to stay with Clarinda. Obviously, the giving up what they did on the ground is something that you don't like to do. You knew that Clarinda was going to be able to gain some yardage because that's what they do is keep it on the ground, but I think they would have liked to limit that a little bit more. And it does sound like they're going to deal with some injuries as well from week number one, but I do think they see this as an opportunity to try to pick up a victory. They're a young, hungry team, and quite simply this weekend, I don't like the chances of teams that wear purple. So I'm going to go with the Atlantic Trojans here on this one on the road. Jim.
You're not a Vikings fan?
Wow.
No. Okay. you know, Atlantic, short on numbers, short on real size, short on experience in a lot of key positions, too. But this is one of the few weeks in their schedule where they're actually probably going to have a little bit of an advantage in some of those matchups that they're going to see across the line from them. I think this is an opportunity for them. I'd like to think that this team's going to pick up some steam as they get more experience under their belts as the season goes along. But the only way that happens is if they get some positive things happening for them. I think last week, even though they came up short, I think they did some positive things. I didn't see the game, but I'm talking to some of the folks who did. And I think that if they can parlay that into a win this week, I think that really will determine a lot of what happens the rest of the season. So I'm going to take Atlantic to win this one on the road.
All right, that's three for the Trojans. Matt, is it a Trojan sweep?
You bet. I'll make it a Trojan sweep. Like you guys have said, I think this week's game provides an opportunity for them to step up and kind of build off of last week. The momentum, I think, kind of started to shift there in the second half for them, and just a few things here or there that I think they'll get over here as the week progresses. And it does. It presents a good opportunity up there to Denison, and they've had success against them in the past, so you know they'll have that confidence in there. And they're looking forward to going against a team that doesn't run that single wing like Clarinda does, you know, just so efficient at it. And it's just, like you said, something you're not used to preparing for. So I think there's a little bit of extra excitement in there. So.
All right. That's a sweep for the Trojans here in our last pick on the sheet. I'm guessing you feel a little bit differently about that.
I do feel very differently about that. I don't like you guys picking on us. You know, that's why we carry that chip on our shoulder all the time.
Hey,
the Panthers play, you know.
Yeah. Cyclone fans have no reason to be confident that it's going to come
always
out positive.
Little brother.
It'll be an interesting game. It always is. All right, that's going to wrap it up here this week on Who's Going to Win. We want to thank our sponsors once again, Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union. We'll be along shortly for your pregame show as we bring you Atlantic on the road at Denison. Thanks for listening to Who's Going to Win here on KJAN.
Pro Ag and Ag Business, ready to weather any storm to protect you. We are a financially strong crop insurance provider prepared to deliver a level of customer service unmatched in the industry. Pro Ag and Ag Business, customer-focused, best-in-class products with a team of the most experienced crop insurance professionals in the country, like Ag Business Associates. Come experience the ProAg difference. Contact Ag Business Associates in Atlantic at 712-243-5464 today.
The Nishnavalli Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishnavalli Credit Union. The Nishnavalli Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishnavalli Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.